Brother Dick, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother?
Our Father, we're thankful that we can be together here to look into your word. We thank you for Jim and his teaching. We just pray for his health issues and that you just bring healing to all those problems for him. Make us a blessing tonight to each other, and we particularly look forward to being blessed by this teaching. We ask that your Spirit be the one who speak to him in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, 1 Corinthians is quite a book. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, meets all the problems in the modern church today by inspiration, of course. Now, we're talking about, last week, we were talking about what, Brother Randall? What was the church discipline and what? Yeah.
confronting a brother, and we also talked about you and how to take that.
Yeah. All of those things.
Grammar as well.
Yeah. We did a little bit of Greek grammar last week, just a tiny bit of Greek grammar. We talked about rough and smooth breathers, acute, grave, and circumflexes, and a little bit of diphthongs. All right? To bore ourselves to death. Yes, Brother Randall.
I got a question.
All right. Well, let's look at this. All right. Here is a smooth breather. It goes that way. And here is a smooth breather. It goes over the second vowel. Okay? Not over the first one, but over the second one. And then, what's this? That's a rough breather over the second vowel. That's wheels. All right. And then we have the acute, and we have the grave, and the circumflex. Okay? And what is this at the end of a sentence in Greek? That's a question mark. All right, that's a question mark. So we got a little bit of grammar in tonight, a little bit of review, and you did learn something, didn't you? I guess. All right. Ek katharate. Pain. Paleon. Zumain. Ina. Ete. Neon. Virama, Kathos, Este, Azimoi, Kai, Dar, To, Pasco, Himon, Etuthe, Christos. All right. Let's go back and look at these words. We're going to look at some of these words thoroughly tonight. Very closely, okay? Now, this word, ekkatharate, our secretary, if you call here to Valley Baptist Church, you will answer the phone and say, Valley Baptist Church! And her name comes from this word right here. Her name is Kathy, okay? It comes from katharizo, kathairo or katharizo, it means to cleanse or to purge out, to clean out completely. It means like cleaning out a sick wound. A wound that has become sick. I had a wound in my arm. I was talking about it a little earlier. It's red, as you can see. I was stung by hornets on the right side of my face, and then another hornet on my right arm, and then my left arm, and then this one here, these wasps really got me bad and left their stingers in my arm. They stung real deep. And it was a guard wasp. A guard is different than all the rest. They're bad boys. Okay? Well, I put medicine on and everything else. I just wasn't getting better. My arm was all swollen and everything else, but this red spot. And I went to the doctor, and he said, you know what? He said, I think you need antibiotics because this is really poisoning your system and causing me to have muscle spasms and all this kind of stuff. Well, I came back to him again Monday, and I said, look at it. He said, that's bad. It's not getting well. I said, it's got stingers in it. So I brought the magnifying glass and showed him, so he had to clean the stingers out. He wasn't going to get well with the stingers in there. Okay? Then he looked at it, and he said, well, now, take this antibiotic and put on there, and we're going to give you a shot of antibiotics and everything. Let's see if this wound's going to clean up. That's what this word right here means, right there. Okay? Some wounds get so bad that they put maggots in them to eat the dead flesh. Did you know that? They do that. He told me, he said, if this doesn't get well, come back next week and we will burn it to kill all of the dead flesh. We'll burn all the dead flesh out and then see if it heals up. Because why? Why would they want to just shoot, tear my arm up like this? Why would they want to do that? Because if you don't get it straightened out, it affects the whole body. It already is affecting the whole body. He said the toxins, I was having muscle spasms all over, and he said your body is being poisoned. All right? Now, churches can be poisoned by a sick member. Churches can be poisoned by a sick member. Just like your body, Brother Floyd, in my Sunday school class. When he was a young boy, I think 10 years old, he fell off of a horse and broke his arm. And they put a cast on his arm, a doctor did back there in Oklahoma, and it made the cast too tight, and his arm became gangrenous. They had to cut his whole arm off up to the shoulder and burn the flesh, catheterize the flesh. Well, all his life he's run around with one arm, but he's run around. If they hadn't done that, he'd have been dead. In the Civil War, you ought to be thankful for very, very much better medicine now than they had in the Civil War. If you got shot in the leg, what happened back then? The sawbones. They used to call the doctors the sawbones because that's all they did. You got shot in the leg, you broke your leg, saw the leg off above where the wound was, because they didn't have any antibiotics to cure it. And this is what it's called. This is a medical term right here. Okay? This is a medical term. Hopefully, you don't have to come to the point where you get some kind of an infection and you have to have it burned out. Burned out. Purge out, burn out, clean out. They have modern ovens today. Used to, with the old ovens, you had to do what to them? You had to get your oven spray with your caustic soda and spray all the oven. With a new self-cleaning ovens, what happens? It superheats the oven and just turns everything into ash and just falls in and you wipe it down. That's this term right here. Second person plural, first aorist, indicative, and imperative mode. Do this. Paul the Apostle is giving, he said, you got cancer in this church. You got a cancer in it. You've got a sick place. You have got a sick wound in this church. Purge out the old, paleon. We got a word, paleontology, isn't it? That's the study of old things. All of this, with all the words that means old. This is word old or ancient here. Paul the Apostle said you need something new. Neon or kinos. Purge out the old leaven. The word leaven there is zemane. Zemane, what does zemane mean? Have any of you looked that up? You can look it up on page 183 in Analytical Greek Lexicon. Purge out the old leaven. The old leaven. Leaven means to boil. To boil. How many of you ever had fed animals that you had to soak the grain? Nobody here? What matter to you people?
City slickers.
City slickers, huh? All right. Brother Roger, you didn't ever feed the animal? Brother David? Penny? Nothing. Oh, what? Well, Wilbur. I used to feed Wilbur. I fed all kinds of animals in my life. But anyway, Wilbur, I'd go out there and I would pick up wheat and oats and stuff out there. I'm the guard out there in the country. See, I go out there with a gun and guard the places and chase off all the bad guys and everything. So every year when they would harvest their stuff, they said, "Jim, come and get all the wheat you want." So I'd go get wheat for the pig and for the chickens. And I took a 5-6 gallon barrel and put it up there, and the pig can't eat the wheat unless you soak it or grind it up real fine. So I would take and put the wheat on top of a barrel and put about half wheat and then pour water in it. I didn't put anything else in it. And you go out there in a hot day like this, by the next morning, that's sitting there boiling all by itself. Boiling and boiling and boiling and boiling. All by itself boiling. And if you smell of it, it smells just like Coors beer or Budweiser or something. Just like you open the can of beer. That's what it smells like. And if you continue to take it out of there and then pour more wheat in there, there is a skim on the bottom of it, like about this thick, that's white. That smells just like brewer's yeast. And it boils faster and faster and faster and faster, and it will deteriorate the wheat, is what happens. Beer is rotten wheat. Your bread, if you put yeast in bread and you leave it in there too long, it'll rise. Why it's rising is because it is rotting and breaking the wheat down, and it'll rise up. And the unleavened bread that they use in the Lord's Supper and they used in the Passover wasn't supposed to have any leaven in it at all, was it? Because leaven in the Bible is always a type of what?
Sin
or an infection. Okay? Sin or infection. When I was young, we had beans. We ate beans every day. We did not have any refrigeration. When we got home from the cotton fields or the potato fields or the pea fields or the peach orchards or whatever we were doing back then, when we got home, we had to build a fire under the pot of beans because the beans were boiling before we ever got there. They were sitting there fermenting. And we would boil those beans vigorously for at least 1/2 hour before we could eat them. And my grandmother would take and put a pinch of baking soda in it. And she said, "That'll keep you from getting a bellyache." Well, if you didn't boil it and heat it up and kill the bacteria, boy, did you have a bellyache. And sometimes even then you got a bellyache. That's what it's talking about, leaven. Yeast. There's natural yeast and natural leaven in everything, okay? And boy, do we have leaven in churches, don't we, today? We got some leaven we need to get out, don't we? Leaven is sin. All right? Page 183, that means to boil. Matthew 19 and 17, Ephesians 4 and verse 22, and 2 Corinthians 5, 17, all cross-reference to this right here. Then we, in order that ye may be, second person plural, imperfect, indicative, active. Ye may be and keep on being new. Fresh. When you're born again, you're born fresh. You're born new, aren't you? You're born again. You're born again. When you're born into the world the first time, you're born dead. Well, are you, Brother Harry? When you're born in the world, you're born to die. And you're born with the spirit of evil in you, the spirit of the devil controlling your life. Now you may be a pretty good guy or a pretty good girl, but if you haven't been born again, you are doomed. You're going to be twice dead. The Bible says you need to be born anew or born from above, or you're going to be twice dead into the lake of fire, which is real over there in eternity. May become new. And then Phi Rama. What in the world do you think that term comes from? Phi Rama. I bet you came by one of these places on the, well, you might not have. Some of you don't have to come very far. I have to make a This is an expedition from where I live to get here, about 30 miles. I went by several pharmacies on the way here, I'm sure. You know, there's Rite Aid and Walgreens and what else? Everything you can think of. All kinds of pharmacies. Hardly any neighborhood, little friendly neighborhood pharmacies anymore. Pharma, pharmia, that means a lump. That comes from furon, furao. Furao means to make a prescription. Okay? A new lump, a new mixing. This word the word pharmakia in the book of Revelation, it says the drug dealers there, the drug dealers, the pharmacists, the pharmakia. This means to mix, just like you do a prescription. He said you need to clean out this infected man. I had a cousin one time. His name was Stanley. And Stanley didn't have any education at all. He could read a little bit. But he had a good mind. He really had a good mind. And he thought right. A lot of people back then, you know, 50 years ago, they drank out of the same cup all the time, didn't they? Well, we did. I mean, they did that. You come out of my place and out there was a wooden barrel with a dipper in it. And you went out there and it kept the water. It was underneath the shade tree. And you went out there and you dipped your water. And the next guy dips the water. And the next guy gets dipped the water. And in the old churches, in the old Baptist churches, a long time ago, they had one cup that they put wine in. And of course, they passed the cup around. You would take the piece of bread, the unleavened bread, and you would eat it. And they would pass the cup around. And everybody drank out of the same cup. The one loaf of bread typified the one body of believers, and the one cup, the one body of believers, and the one Lord, one faith in this place. Stanley used to say, when somebody come up sick, he'd say, I don't want your Germans. I don't want your Germans. He didn't know. He called them Germans. He said, I don't want them old Germans. He said, get your old Z's away from me. If they come up with a cold or something. He had enough sense to keep them Germans away. Those germs is what he was trying to say. Those Germans and those Z's. I don't want your old Z's. The mix. Prescription. All right. Just as kata and hos. That's what it comes from. Kathos. Just as ye are unleavened. Unleavened. A church ought to be unleavened. Uninfected. When people join God's churches, this is the problem. Brother Madden, one of my teachers, used to say, he said, he'd get up and he said, somebody come forward Sunday, want to join my church. I talked for 15 minutes trying to talk them out of it. I showed every excuse I could give them. He said, one problem, he said, you get too many lost people in God's churches and you got problems. He wanted to try to keep the lost people out. Boy, I tell you what, he preached. He'd get up and preach. And when he got to you, you knew you'd been preached to. You knew you were a sinner and you knew you were lost and you knew you were going to hell. Simple as that. He'd get up. He preached for me one time. He got up there and he said, anybody lost out there, you better leave right now. Just get out. Leave. He said, because when I get through preaching to you, if you don't believe, you're going to be twice the son of hell. You're going to burn twice as hard in hell if you don't believe after you hear this message. And that was the truth. That was the truth. Every time you've been exposed to God's Word, if you reject it, you're going to be hotter place than hell from then on unless you believe. All right. Just as you are unleavened, it's good when we get saved people in God's church. You have a whole lot less trouble with the saved ones. They give you trouble too, you know, because they're Adamic also. Chi, and here we have this word that comes from page 208, Brother Randall. Chi is a conjunction in Greek, but right here it's not a conjunction. In the book of John, it says in John 1:1, it says, in beginning, in arche, ein ho logos. in the beginning kept on being the Word, or Jehovah. Then it says Chi. That's Chi there. It's a conjunction. All right? Chi, ho logos, ein, proston theon. And the Word kept on being toward the God. And then the last part of that sentence is, it says Chi, and it doesn't matter which way you put them because this is a predicate nominative in the end of it. It says Chi, ho logos, ein theos, or Chi, theos, ein ho logos. Okay? But the Chi there means what? Exactly what it means right here. Surely, indeed. This is the particle of affirmation right here, okay? For the Pascha. The Paschal Lamb. This is where we get our word Paschal Lamb. The Passover Lamb. He was our Passover of us. He was sacrificed. Et tite. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative passive. From Theol. Let's read this now from the Amplified Bible real quick. 5 and verse 7. Purge out, clean out, I might say burn out the old leaven, that ye may be fresh, new dough, still uncontaminated, as ye are, for Christ our Passover Lamb has been sacrificed. Christ our sacrificial lamb has been sacrificed. Zephaniah 1 and 2, Exodus 12, 15, 13 and 7, Galatians 5 and 9, Matthew 13, 33, Matthew 16, 6 and 11, and 1 Corinthians 5 and 6, Luke 13, 21, and Galatians 5 and 9, all of those were how that leaven is bad. Okay? Leaven is always bad. Hoste. 5 and verse 8. Hoste. Eortazomen. Me. En. Zime. Palea. Mede. En. Zime. Kakias. Kai. Ponerios. All. En. Azimois. I lick crinais, crinaios. Okay? Kai, aletheos. Now let's look at some of these words a little deeper than we've looked at them before, okay? Because they're very, very important. In this manner, page 444, that's what that word hoste comes from. It's a conjunction. In this manner, let us keep on keeping the feast. First person plural, present, subjunctive, active, and this is what we call the futuristic subjunctive. Okay? Futuristic subjunctive. Let us keep on, or may we keep on keeping the feast. Not with leaven. That's talking about the Passover. Were you supposed to have, what were they supposed to do with everything in the house? Sweep it out, burn it out, clean the house out. Sweep it, look in every nook and cranny, every place. They looked for leaven. They looked all over, everywhere, for the leaven. They tried to chase it down. And that's kind of like what a child of God should do in their lives, too. We ought to look in our lives for the things that offend our God and clean it out. And in church houses, in church assemblies, Baptist churches always practiced church discipline all down through history. Not to be mean. Now, some churches do that. Some churches practice church discipline just to be hateful. And they want to just scrutinize. They want to humiliate. They want to hurt people with church discipline. But that's not the purpose of the church discipline. And first of all, the church discipline, the purpose of it is to clean the church up. Get the leaven out. But if that person repents, then what are you supposed to do? The first place, the only reason why he excluded them, it was to show them they're doing the wrong thing. But what was the order that you had to go to before you even excluded them, what were you supposed to do? First of all, go to the person alone and say, brother, you got this problem. I know you got this problem. Okay? I'm not going to do anything about it. Well, so then you go and get two other church members with you. And you go back and you talk to the person with three people. By two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And you talk with the man then. And if the man says that, well, I'm sorry, I really see that you guys are serious and I do have this problem, I'll repent. And I'll straighten my life up. And I'm not going to go out drinking anymore. I'm not going to go fooling around. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do whatever he was doing. He's not going to do it. Okay? Maybe he was running off with the neighbor's wife. Maybe she was running off with the neighbor's husband. Whatever. And they're confronted with this, and they repent. That's good, because that way you took care of the problem. But what happens when the person say, jump in the creek? Then you go to the church, to the assembly, and say, hey, we got a problem with this guy. We already talked to him, and he's not going to do it. Maybe he's in the church there. And they said, are you going to repent? And he said, no. Okay, you're no longer part of the fellowship of this church. You're out. Period. Out of fellowship. And so then, they don't have anything to do with him anymore in church capacity. That's a pretty strong issue, isn't it? It is. You don't have anything to do with him in church capacity anymore. And that's what happened here in 1 Corinthians. They had a guy there living in incest with his own mother. And some of the people, oh, he lives with his mama. In the Amplified Bible, it says he lived in incest. Well, Paul said, I demand that you exclude this man from this church. You practice discipline on this man. And that's what he's saying in here. Let us keep on keeping our feast. When we come together with the Lord's Supper was taken from the what? From what?
Passover.
The Passover dinner. The same elements that were there at the Passover dinner were used in the Lord's Supper. The Passover dinner was looking forward to the Messiah. The Lord's Supper is looking back to the Messiah. Okay? Our baptism, we have two ordinances in the local visible New Testament church. What are they? Baptism. You're not baptized to get saved, but you're baptized because you are saved. You don't get baptized to get saved. A lot of people think, well, I'm baptized, I'm going to go to heaven. I got fire insurance. It don't work that way. Don't work that way. You get saved first. Baptism might clean you up a little bit. Okay? But it doesn't have nothing to do with you, nothing at all with spiritual. If you're not saved first. Okay? Now let's look at this hard things that Paul the Apostle has got to say here. Let us keep on keeping the feast. With leaven? Old. Nor with leaven of malice. Alright? Leaven old. Okay, that's old leaven. That's what I talked about, those barrels out there when I would fix Wilbur's feed. It would get thicker and thicker, and it would boil quicker and quicker, and it contaminated the feed. It was just boil. I'd have to clean it out and scrape it and wash it out, put a little peroxide, or not peroxide, but bleach every now and then, and clean it all completely out. Because it would start boiling too much and the food would stink. Alright, with the leaven of malice, kakios. What's kakios? What's kakios mean?
Evil.
We got more better word for that. What's this kind of evil? Cindy, you remember what kind of evil this is? This is Adamic evil. This is this plain old Adamic nature. Adamic evil. This is your Adamic evil. This isn't real bad evil now, it's just Adamic nature. You all have it. You got your Adamic nature. You bring it through baptism with you, don't you? That's what you have to just keep on punching yourself and keeping yourself in line with. All right. This word is malice, it says in some of the translations. It means Adamic nature. Adamic evil. And now we have another word, is ponarios. Ponarios here is perversion. This is evil perfected. This same word here is for a prostitute, for a whore. It is for male prostitutes and female prostitutes. It's for lesbians. It's for homosexuals. It's for all of these different twisted child molesters, incestuous people. Okay? That's that word right here. That's a bad word. That's a word that's twisted and crooked. Crooked, as they say, is a barrel of snakes. Twisted and crooked. Strong adversative conjunction. Page 15, Allah. It's all here for short, for euphony. And then in, the preposition. Preposition here is in the locative, but it is used in a instrumental sense. All right? It's locative, but it's used in instrumental sense. And here we have a locative plural, unleavening. Unleavened bread. Okay? The word bread isn't there, but it's implied. Of sincerity. Elikrineos. Very rare word. It's not in ancient Greek at all. Not in ancient Greek at all. The front of this word comes from helios. Well, that didn't work. Helios. When I was having trouble with my arm not getting well the other day, you know what I had to do? I got the super magnifying glasses and I went out into the sunlight. And I took my arm and put these magnifiers there and shined the light on it, sunlight. How many of you ever got a sticker or a thorn in you? Has anyone ever stepped on a sand burr? Sand burrs are terrible little things. They're like little miniature inanimate porcupines. Okay? There's all kinds of these real barbed stickers all around them, and you step on one of them, and the sticker breaks off in you. Yeah. I'd rather step on a goat head than I would a sand burr. One thing, the sand burr is like a little porcupine. The goat head you pull out, it hurts like mad and stings and burns and everything. But the bad thing about the sand burr, it leaves some of it in there. Then you've got to go out there with a light, in the light, and go out there and get your magnifying glass, if you can't see anymore, and get tweezers, real sharp tweezers, or a knife blade, or a needle or something, and dig every one of those little mean rascals out of there. That's what this word here means, right here. It means to judge by sunlight. To judge by sunlight. To judge by sunlight. The Apostle says you need to judge things by the sunlight. By the sunlight. Get it out in the light. Kai alethios. Kai alethios. In the sunlight. The light of the sun. To judge by the light of the sun. And then what does the word alethios mean? Alethios. Let's look at that word now. We've looked at that. Now, there's a woman's name, Alethea. Alethea? You ever heard of the name Alethea or Alethea? Her name means truth. Okay? It's truth. And Jesus is called the truth. He said, I am the truth. But in Greek, what does Alethea mean? There's a word on the front of it. It's an alpha, isn't it? And an alpha on the front of a word usually means what? Not. Thank you, Brother Randall. What does lo in Hebrew mean? What does al in Hebrew mean? Not. And it's a adverb of negation, isn't it? Not or nothing. Okay? Now, right here on the front of it, it means not or nothing. Okay? Not or nothing. Nothing. And then how about lathia? Or latho? Latho. How many of you know what the word apocalypsis means? Brother Dick, you know what apocalypsis means? The apocalypse of John? The revelation. The apocalypse means to take the cover off of. The word aletheia means the same thing. Letho means to hide. To hide it in the corner. To look over it. To be hidden or not seen. Alright? Always out in the open is what this means. It, by the way, this letho comes from Lontano, page 247. Lontano, page 247 in that little Zondervan's analytical Greek lexicon. But that letho comes from that which means to hide or to keep out of sight or out of the open. And the Greeks had the idea here of aletheia, that which is in the sunlight, that which is out in the open. Okay? Do you see how Paul, he said, you people are, this man was hiding his sin. He's in your church, closed up in there with his sin. Expose his sin. Expose it. And all the other sins in the church. Maybe there's some that I don't know about. You do need to look at all of this. And probably some of you need to repent, is what he said. Five and verse eight. Therefore let us keep the fast, not with old leaven, not with leaven of vice and malice. Vice. That word vice over there, with thou, vice. And malice. Vice and malice. The Greeks had good vices and bad vices. Did you know that? Now I know this is going to bother some of you, what I'm going to say here, but that's all right too. The vices that were good, according to the Romans and the Greeks, were getting drunk, having a good time, and getting out and beating each other up. Right. It sounds like football, doesn't it? And hockey. That's it, isn't it? I remember one time my grandson was a hockey player. He was playing down here in the hockey team and everything else. And they were so proud of him because he got out there and busted somebody the first night. He brought blood. I said, that may be all right to you, but it's not okay to me. To call, that's what the gladiators were all about. People wanted to see blood, didn't they? And what is most of this? It's brawling. They go out and win a game and then go out and get drunk. Those were good vices in the Roman times, and maybe they're too good of vices in American times. All right? Leaven of vice and malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread, purity, nobility, honor, sincerity, unadulterated truth. Exodus 12, 19 and 13 and verse 7, Deuteronomy 16 and verse 3. Let's go on and get into some more of this hard preaching Paul did. I don't think anybody preached this in the great big church today anymore. Did half the people get up and walk out. This way it is. 5 and 9. Last time I preached this was 11/5/1980. Igrapsa. Amen. Ente epistole. Me. Si non an mig nuste. Ponois. Paul's not finished with this fornicating business yet. Okay? He's not finished with it yet. I wrote to you in the epistle. Now, he's talking about the same epistle. He said, I want to re-emphasize something. Now, we have to realize the customs of the day. I wrote a book one time, The Thoughts and Customs of the American Indian. Because I believe my people forgot what they believed, and that many people didn't believe them to begin with, the thoughts and customs of the American people, or the American Indian, thoughts and customs of the American Indian. An introduction to the thoughts and customs of the American Indian. When you study the Bible, you have to have an introduction to the thoughts and customs of the people that are taking place, what's taking place there. When we come to church today, what do? We come, study God's Word, listen to the preaching of God's Word, we sing some, whatever. But back in this period of time, when they came to church, where was church? Wasn't in the same place every week, was it? It's somebody's house. Or out in the yonder in an orchard or in a cave someplace or out by the beach or something if it was legal to be a Baptist. They would go out there and they would have a service. And when they had the service, they had a picnic. They had dinner together. Because they were going to have service all the rest of the day. Sometimes they would have services every day of the week. They tried to. We have church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night sometimes. There are many churches in the land today that only have church on Sunday morning because the people are too lazy to come to church. They aren't that interested. They want just a little bit of religion. Just a little. Okay? This is discipleship class. These guys are real disciples, and you girls. Real disciples. Habitual learners. Okay? Back then, they would come and they would finish their evening together. Sometimes they would listen to preaching all night. One time, Paul was preaching, and this kid was up on a balcony, and what happened to the little brat? He fell asleep and rolled off the balcony and got killed. Plump. Everybody's crying, well, the kid died. The little kid's dead. Paul went over there and laid hands on him, raised him from the dead. Put him back up there so he could get Paul asleep in another sermon. And the brethren churches, they had a guy set up in the balcony with a long stick. And everybody went in the church and sat on these hard pews. The church pews were terrible. They were so uncomfortable. How many of you ever sat in those old church pews? They tried to break your back with them. How could anybody ever fall asleep in something like that? But the ones that did fall asleep, they had a deacon up there to thump them on the head. Thump, thump, thump. So if you're going to fall asleep, you better have one eye open. Wait till the guy's going to thump you. All right? Well, these people, when they came to church, they had dinner together. They ate with each other. And they didn't have the Lord's Supper every time, but they ate every time with each other. I wrote to you in this same epistle, not particle of negation there, page 268, if you want to write that down. May. In Hebrew, what is that? Our low. Okay? Not seen on a mig niste. Not to fellowship in church capacity. Don't fellowship in church capacity. That's what it means. Don't come together and fellowship in church capacity. That's the term right here. Present, infinitive, middle. With whores, prostitutes, fornicators, incestuous ilk, people addicted to sexual perversion, immoral reprobates. That's what it says. That's the term. All right? This is the term for all of that. Sexual perversion of all sorts, okay? Were they talking about politicians? That sounded like it, didn't it? All right, 5 and verse 10. Ooh. Pontos. Toys. Ponois. Pornois. Two. Cosmu. Tuto. A. Toys. Pleonectes. Chi. Harpoxine. A. idololatrios. Epe, ophelete, ara, ek, tu, cosmu, XL thing. Not all together with the same ilk, the sexual perverts. Okay? Now, God created sex, but He created sex between a woman and a man in marriage. And that's all fine. God made every organ in you, every sensation and everything. God made it for your pleasure. But not to be used as a prostitute or a way to make your living or anything like that. Not all together with sexually immoral people of this world. You don't bring those rats in the church unrepentant. Well, it's all right if a homosexual gets saved and come in the church. It's all right if whores get saved and become religious and go to church and get saved. It's all right if pimps get saved and all of this. I mean, churches are made up of that kind of people sometimes. Drug addicts. Alcoholics. All of that. If you go to my website or our website, Brother Randall does all the work on it, and go to Jim's Hall of Fame and go in there where D.S. Madden is. He talked about a sermon on forgiveness. He talked about going up into Washington and going in there, and there was a woman that had joined the church that was a former prostitute, married a deacon. And boy, the woman wouldn't have anything to do with her at all. Finally, the woman got up. I mean, if Madden preached the sermon, it just scolded all of them. And he called them pretty much all the whole women a bunch of whores. He said, one thing about somebody, he said, when you quit smoking, you hate everybody that smokes cigarettes. And when you're a whore, when you get converted, you hate everybody that's a whore. All this stuff. I mean, he was pouring it on. They went up there, and the woman got up there afterward, and she said, well, she said, I'll... And the guy got up first, the deacon. He said, well, I didn't... She didn't come to me. I went to her. And I went to her lifestyle, and I brought her into my lifestyle. But he said she got saved in the meanwhile. So the woman got up there, and she said, well, I can never make him the kind of wife that I could have made him because of where I came from. But I'll tell you this one thing. Because of where I came from, I will be faithful to him. That I'll do. And everybody got smiley and kissy and huggy and shaking hands and everything together. All right. The whole purpose is that a church is full of converted bad people. Okay? It's full of converted bad people. Because we were all bad, weren't we? We were all bad. He said, not all together with fornicators of this world, or with the covenanted people. The overreachers. This is used three times in the New Testament. This is a hard sermon, isn't it, Cindy? Bad words. Bad stuff in there, man. This is the way the world is, isn't it? This is going out all over the world, Randall. And every corner, and Nick and Granny. The overreachers. The hoarders. That's what this is. The people that hoard things. They just got to have everything that they see. They want everything. Mine! 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 This word here in Greek means to sail around and grab everything that you touch or come near. Just like the old Pac-Man games, eating everything in sight. To sail around and grab. That's what it means. To sail around and grab. Hoarders. Greedy. 6 and 10 and Ephesians 5 and 5. And wolf-like. Harpoxing. This is like a wolf-like. This means gangsters, bandits, outlaws, hijackers, extortioners, politicians. I wrote a story about my ex-stepdad the other day, my old outlaw stepdad, Dale Remlin. He's one of the most world-famous criminals in the world. But he raised me. He raised me. I wanted Randall's to do it because my computer wouldn't do it. I had to go over there, and he was laughing behind my back. I was typing all this stuff in there. He was an extortioner. And he escaped out about every prison in the state of California. He escaped out of that prison in Michigan where he flew out of it with a helicopter. That really made him famous. They had him on the front of Newsweek. Ed Evers held up a sign, "I'm innocent," through the jails of Marion, through the bars of Marion, Illinois. And I walked by when I was down to seminary and I told Brother Madden, I said, "That's my daddy." He said, "What?" I said, "That's my daddy. That's the one that raised me right there." He said, "Boy." He said, "What happened to your dad?" I said, "He got killed over there about 4 miles robbing a liquor store. He got shot with a .45. He said, "Boy, you're a work of grace." Well, that man taught me a lot of things. He was a pure-blood German, Cindy. He was a pure-blood German. Dale Otto Remling. Boy, he could sing... like Frankie Lane, dance like Fred Astaire, one of the greatest mechanics and builders and blueprinters and everything in the world. He could do anything. The last house that Buck Owens had here, his nephew, he drew the blueprints up for that mansion that he built. Dale did the blueprints for that. He could do anything. He was an electrician, plumber, carpenter, anything. And he did it well, whatever he did. And if he'd have put all of his abilities and efforts going in the right direction, he was one of the greatest horse trainers in the world. He trained the Lipizzan Stallions. You know those horses they show around? He trained the Lipizzan Stallions in Michigan at the training place. Gangsters. He was a gangster too. He was a gangster. I wanted to grow up and be just like him. I wanted to be able to do all the things he did, but without the bad. We rub elbows with that every day, don't we? We rub elbows with it. I grew up among drunk Indians so bad, so drunk. I know what that drug, I know what drug addiction is. Because they were drinking and brawling and drinking and brawling, sexual abuse, everything all around me all of my life. But you don't have to go that way. You don't have to go that way. God gives you a volition, a will. Rapacious, like a wolf-like. An idolater. What's an idolater? What is an idolater? An infidel. A pagan. We got Catholics are idolaters, aren't they? Mormons are idolaters. What do Mormons worship? Themselves. Little Antichrist. Every one of them is God. A people that worship idols. Worship the devil. The devil's a real entity, people. You know the people that worship the devil, that he gives them power? That's right. The devil can give you power. Power to influence people, everything else. They talk about selling your soul to the devil. People have. Yeah. Some of that's real. This word idolaters, it comes from idol, which means icon or an image, and then latris, at the end of that, that means to become a servant. That means to become a slave to idols or false religion, a slave to it. What can you make into idolatry? Your house? Your family? sometimes your car, your money. It's so hard for a rich man to get into heaven. It's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle, or for a rich man to get in heaven, than to get a camel through the eye of a sewing needle. Because what? Because of idolatry. Because a rich man makes his money his God. La Triste, to become a hireling of idols. Sense et pay. Ye ought to keep on by necessity under obligation. Then out of the world to go out. Ought to there. You ought to keep on being under necessity and obligation. You have no obligations except to God. No obligations except to God. 5 and verse 10. Not meaning, of course, that you must altogether shun the immoral people of this world, or the greedy graspers, or cheats, and thieves, and idolaters, since otherwise you wouldn't have need to get out of the world. And human society altogether. That's the people are the mission field. They're the mission field. All of these people are the mission field. Now, if you go out into the world, you're a missionary. Or a mission field. When you go out into the world, you're a missionary or you're a mission field. You either become a missionary or you become a convert to them. You start looking and smelling like the world. Or you can walk like Christ. That's one or the other. We'll start at verse 5 and 11 next week. Today is the 15th. All right. Thank you for enduring God's Word. It's heavy sometimes. It's a heavy preaching for 2012, isn't it? Heavy preaching for 2012. But that's it. That's the word right there. Thank you for enduring those hard seats. And go out and do something eternal. And Brother Harry, I asked you to come up here and dismiss us the other night, didn't I? You got your mouth full of stuff? Brother Corey, you've been gone for a long time. Would you like to come up here and dismiss us? Okay, can't hear you back there. Would you do that? Yeah, lead us in prayer and dismiss us.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, again, we are thankful for this opportunity to learn your word. Thankful for Jim's insight into your word. May we take the lessons learned and apply it to our lives. And go out and set a good example to those in the world who are unsaved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.